Hopefully you've gotten to Matthew chapter 9 and found that. Look at verse 12 tonight. We're going to read a couple, look at a couple passages. After this, we'll go right to Exodus chapter 15. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 12. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." Verse 13. "But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I'll have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." The Lord came to heal the sick. The greatest disease that we have is sin. And here he makes the connection between maybe a physical need and a spiritual one. Go with me to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15, the first 20 or so verses of Exodus 15, it's a song. It's Moses singing this song. I don't know if they're singing together, but how it's penned is just praise to the Lord. For what? For what he just did. He just redeemed them out of the nation of Egypt and set them free, delivered them, if you will. Delivered the children of Israel from the armies of Egypt. So they sang. So they sang a great song. You know, it's good to sing these songs. We sang, "It is well with my soul. My sin not in part, but the whole is nailed to the cross. And praise the Lord, I bear it no more." Not to rehash those things, but we ought to rehash those things, right? So they penned a song just to remind the nation of Israel, hey, let's never forget where God found us, how he delivered us, how God got the great victory. Exodus chapter 15, verses 1 through 21. What a great song. What a great example to us of how we can worship and glorify God. Hey, meditate on what he has done in our life. In verse 22, the song ends. They go on a three-day journey. So Moses brought forth Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness. And the Bible says these words, "and found no water." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you that God, as they just sang, that you would even desire to have us. God, I don't know what you see in us, but I'm thankful that you love us. I'm thankful that you reach out to us. And God, as we look at this passage tonight, God, I'm thankful that you heal us. I am thankful that you are the great physician and you know our inner workings, not just in body, but in spirit and soul. Lord, I pray that this lesson, this message tonight would be a help and a blessing to us, an encouragement, a good reminder to us. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so tonight, as we look in Exodus chapter 15, we kind of introduced the thought in Matthew chapter 9, God is able to heal. And as we read through this passage, it's amazing to me what happens here. Again, we get on the nation of Israel for being so complaining, but as I read this, I just so identify with it. Man, God, you're so good. You're so great. Oh, flat tire. God, no one cares about me. Nobody loves me. That's how life is. Unfortunately, life is not just smooth sailing down the road. It is a roller coaster. And if we can get those peaks and valleys to come in a little closer, that's called temperance, right? Moderation. Want to try and control that so we're not so way high up there and so way down low. We're going to try and bring those emotions together. But we know the reality of it. We live in Exodus chapter 15. God, I can't praise you enough. I can't sing to you enough. All of a sudden, I feel uncomfortable. They go 3 days journey, no water. I have a hard time singing two or three hymns without water. I don't know who got this water, but this is great. perfect size, say, yeah, I know, for you, yeah, go ahead. I get it. But it's Sam's Purified Drinking Water. I like this one. This one's great. This is refreshing. It tastes great. All that. Go a couple songs, take a little sip out of here. Man, could you imagine all of a sudden everyone's thirsty? Run on the drinking fountain. Could you imagine going 3 days in the wilderness, no water? We take a road trip sometimes. Pull out of our driveway. Dad, I'm thirsty. Got to use the bathroom. Are we there? You know? Here they traveled 3 days. It's amazing how quickly celebration is quickly forgotten when things suddenly take a turn for the worst. They immediately begin to criticize the man of God. Look at verse 23. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. They have no water, they find water, and what's the problem with the water? It's bitter. Therefore, the name of it is called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink? You brought us out here. You should have let us die in Egypt." We've heard it all before. He cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. Say, what kind of tree? What would do such a... Is there a formula? Is it chemistry? Is it physics? What? Is it biology? Is there a tree out there that can take bitter water and you throw a stick into it and it turns sweet? Benjamin, do you know of any sticks that do that? Me either. But God can take any stick. We've seen what he's done in the staff with Moses. What's that in your hand, Moses? So God just takes normal things and performs miracles. So he takes the stick. It specifically doesn't tell us the name of the stick. Why? Because every fool out there would then try and go get that stick and try and throw it into some bitter water and make it work and probably die of water poisoning. Because it only happened once. He made it sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance. And there he proved them. Look at verse 26. And he said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians." Look at this last phrase. It's so important. "For I am the Lord that healeth thee." Jehovah Rapha. That's his name. 60 times it shows up in our Old Testament. Most times, I'll say this. Sometimes when referenced, it's to healing or fixing an inanimate object, an altar. But most times it's towards the healing of a person. And that's exactly what God is to us. The same people that just experienced God's great deliverance began to complain against his servant Moses. Israel came to the bitter waters of Marah. And praise the Lord, God heard Moses' cry for help. And he instructs him to throw a tree into the bitter waters. Again, we've been teaching biology here for a long time. We teach chemistry. This is a miracle. God healed bitter waters. Moses simply obeyed. There's going to be a connection between God's healing and God's obeying. No, man's obedience and God's healing. Man's obedience and God's healing. How many times in the New Testament? Now, let's not get crazy with it. But how many times in the New Testament do we see where God tells or instructs somebody to go do something and then he heals them physically? Right? We see that? go take that mud and put it upon your eyes. Was it the mud? No. It was just an act of obedience. God is always able to, but I want to go one step. I want to go way past the physical healing tonight. I want to look at Jehovah Rapha more so in the healing of brokenness. He took bitter waters and he made them sweet. There's a bitterness that sometimes takes root in our heart. And when God is able to do that, God is able to get in there, and he is able to take a little stick, if you will, and get involved and take that bitter heart and turn it into something sweet. Only God can do a miracle like that. And here God reveals himself as the Lord that heals. But as God's people had to first obey. He put the qualifier in here. This is God speaking. Look at verse 26. And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you. Don't you think that as Christians, if we simply obeyed the word of God, that would shelter us, that God could do something in our hearts? So many Christians struggle with anger or malice or sins of our heart. And why is that? Maybe is it because there's some level of disobedience towards God himself. And God says, hey, you didn't listen to me. Now you've made a mess of things. If we simply obeyed, think of all the things that we could protect ourselves from. Last time I checked, I've tried to visit with a lot of you. None of you have a time machine. No one has showed me time machines. You've showed me cool stuff at your house. You take me around. Look at this. This is neat. Everyone has something unique at their house, and I love it. Look at this. Look at what we can do here. Wow, that's neat. No one has a time machine. So why are you saying that? Because we can't go back in time to change anything. How many of you learned some lessons in life that you'd like to go back and fix? Sure. How many of you have been successful in being able to travel back in time to fix those things? We cannot. So you are not a lost cause. You're not all done. It's not all over. I handled this wrong over here. All right. Well, good news. Going forward, just like the nation of Israel at this moment, simply obey what he's telling you now, and God in his miraculous way can bring healing to your life, because that's who he is. His very name is Jehovah Rapha, meaning the God who heals. And speaking with many of you, maybe there's a physical need there. I understand. Pastor, pray for my back, or pray for this, or pray for that. And we do that. We pray for that. Pray for Brother Bayer. Pray for Mrs. Trimaldi. Pray for Mrs. Johnson. Pray for these. Physically, yes. But I'll tell you, more people that I talk to, it is not a physical ailment that we are carrying day after day. There's an emotional, even a spiritual brokenness. Say, what do? We bring it to the God who heals. And maybe you do have a physical ailment and whatever, but I'm telling you, the thing that shakes your life more is a circumstance like that I just described. An estranged child. A relationship over here that has been broken. And what is needed is God's healing hand in it. As God's people choose to obey him, the great physician can bring healing. Even though the bitter circumstances of our lives may not change. He could heal the inside of you. As I said, Rapha shows up 60 times in the Bible. Sometimes it refers to repairing an object like an altar, but most often in the scripture, it expresses the physical, spiritual, and emotional healing of an individual. Jehovah Rapha has the power to instantly heal physical illness and disease of any kind. Here we saw it. A stick hits the water, all of a sudden, bam, water is sweet. It went from vinegar to Gatorade. Kombucha, awful. Thank you. To Kool-Aid. It went from bitter to sweet. Brother Rodell, what are you doing out there? I need you in here. We have a whole row. We have Rodell Row. The miraculous healing power he displays most often today is the healing of our hearts from sin and the bitter disappointments of life. Because that's our greater need. There's doctors, they're called cardiologists. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 17. A cardiologist is a doctor who works on the heart. Brother Parrott, who was the doctor over at First Bible that used to, was the heart doctor those years ago? Do you remember? Man, that was a long time ago. Never mind. That's like deep in the files. Yeah. That's like an external hard drive saved. Yeah. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Is that true? One of the worst things that you can, one of the worst bits of advice someone could give you is, listen now, follow your heart. You'll end up in a mess. The best bit of advice is, follow God. Listen to God. Obey God. Yeah, but I feel, who cares what you feel? You lie to yourself. You lie to others. I would never. Then you're calling the Bible not true. The heart is deceitful above all things. You know how charity is like the greatest attribute? You know, and above these, charity. Well, on the other side, your heart is deceitful above everything. And is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Look at verse 10. Who can know it? The cardiologist. I, the Lord, search the heart, he says. God says, I can get in there, I can deal with things, I can heal things, because he is Jehovah Rapha. And that's just what he does. The great physician has a cure. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Remember, the point of these lessons is not to just gain head knowledge about our God, but heart knowledge about our God that would draw us closer to Him and want to love Him and serve Him more. This isn't just like a neat little Bible study that we're doing. The purpose of these lessons as we study these different names of God is to help us draw closer to the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. The Bible says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. What is the problem? My sin. And God paid the penalty, and he has the ability to heal me from my sin. Trust in Christ brings salvation and the gift of eternal life to all that ask. But moment by moment confession of sin is necessary for believers to enjoy a life in fellowship with the Lord right now. There's a moment of salvation, but I don't know if you're aware of this. After salvation, you still sin. So what are we supposed to do? what we're supposed to get right. Look at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, just a couple pages away. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. In the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son cleanses us from all sin. That's even after. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. It's kind of like Jeremiah 17. Hey, be careful. You'll lie to yourself. You'll convince yourself you're all right. And God says, you need me to clean you up. This is after salvation. This is daily life. Why? What happens? Our sin breaks fellowship with the Lord. Look at Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Psalm 103. In verse 12. Nope, 11. These are great verses. Psalm 103, verse 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Praise the Lord. God cleans us up. So much so that our sin and us have been separated. He heals us. And having COVID, that was a pain. Like literally, like it hurt. Like my whole body like was sore and like just to even touch. But then to be feeling better. Oh, wow, that 47th day was wonderful. And all of a sudden, you know, I think it was like day 5 or 6. And you went to bed and you felt like you got hit by a bus. You woke up a new person. It was like a butterfly coming out of a cocoon, you know? It's just, I am a new person. I feel human again. I feel like I can talk to people and move. And, you know, that's how it feels when God heals us in our heart. Hey, what, have you been relieved of some of the bitterness and anger of your heart? That God gets in there and He just messes around and heals you and He breaks you and you humble yourself and you obey Him. And man, that feels so good. It's like it was never even there. That's the healing hand of Jehovah Rapha in your life. But refusal to admit sin and ask for forgiveness, that's going to cause some difficulty in your life. God uses difficult circumstances to get our attention. How many of you have ever experienced that? Sure. I got it, God. I don't need you. I know what I'm doing. I'm all set. I know how to drive this vehicle. I know exactly where I'm going. I'll let you know when I need you. Hold tight, because He's going to remind you real quick. He can remind you real quick that you're not in charge. He can lead us through hard times as a test of our trust in Him. Instead of complaining about the bitter waters, why don't we come to the Lord for healing? Let me explain something here. God does not play with our emotions. But He does test our faith. And He is actively trying to build our faith to trust Him more. I don't know what the body of water looked like. I don't know what the circumstances were in Exodus chapter 15. But when the nation of Israel first, so thirsty, could you imagine? Being so thirsty, 3 days traveling in the wilderness, no water. And all of a sudden you come upon this giant, you're praising God for His provision, right? There you are, you jump in, you taste it, and all of a sudden it's salty and bitter and nasty. Ugh! How difficult, how hard, how And then all of a sudden, it's made sweet again. The same people that tasted it, someone had to identify it was bitter. Same people that tasted the bitter waters got a chance to taste the sweet waters and compare the two. Hey, the same people that experienced the bitterness in her heart have an opportunity for God to heal that and experience the sweet waters. Oh, you're a bitter individual. You're going to be like that forever. No. No, it doesn't have to be that way. God can get in there and work a miracle. God can throw a stick in the thing and change it all up. God tests our faith. God's prescription is always the right medicine. So many times, sitting in your living rooms or talking to you on the phone, please pray for this one. They messed up the medicine, or they're on a new medicine and they don't know what's going on, and this medicine is fighting this medicine, and just the difficulty of that and how hard that is. I was talking to, I think it was Mrs. Bayer, and they gave her one medicine. She's like, I took a half one of those and I'm never taking one of those again. You understand the prescription for the great from the great physician is always perfect and always right. He'll never lead you astray. Luke chapter 8. Look at this. Familiar story. Love it. Luke chapter 8. I love the human interaction with Christ and people. I could read the stories over and over and over again. And every time it's just like, oh, I love it. There's so much going on. They're so detailed. And Luke chapter 8 and verse 43, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon what? Physicians. Neither could be healed of any. She went to doctor after doctor. She's living on the street. She's got nothing left. She's lived with the disease for 12 years. And then she met Christ. Hey, there's things in your life that you've gone to doctors, you've tried to heal yourself, you've tried to fix. I'm going to resolve this. I know what to do. Only to spend yourself and still have the same ailment. Why don't you get wise like the woman in this passage and just come to Christ? Let Christ heal your situation. Hey, maybe some of you tonight have been holding, yeah, but I'm right. You're sick. Verse 44, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately, the Bible says immediately her issue of blood stanched. I don't know what her issue was. It had something to do with the blood. And when she touched his garment, immediately. Hey, not all the time does God heal instantly, but he could. You go on to read, and he asks, who touched me? And they're like, oh, what do you mean? You're in a group of people. What do you mean who touched you? Everybody touched you. He's like, oh, no, my virtue went out. Verse 47, when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. God always prescribes the right medicine. She's not going to have to go back to see him again. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says this, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. To show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. God is able to heal you tonight. I want to look at these things real quickly and then we'll be done. Psalm 107, Jehovah Rapha tonight. Last week we looked at Jehovah Jaira. No, that was 2 weeks ago. Last week we had our annual meeting. Remember how fun that was? And I think we're still on missions at this point. But 2 weeks ago we looked at the God who sees our needs. Here we see the God who can heal. Your biggest problem is not your physical ailment. Because one day we are going to shed this body and it's going to be done. But what happens in our heart is most important. Psalm 107, look at verse 20. The Bible says this, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. The Bible says that the word of God is able to heal us. Maybe you've been in a place in your life where there's really nothing anybody could say. But then God, through His sweet, sweet words of the Scripture, was a comfort and a help and a strength. The God who heals uses His word. He heals us, as we saw in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, from our sin. Look at Psalm 41. Hey, if you're here tonight and you're carrying sin, you got a problem. Why don't you come get that settled? Why don't you come to the physician? Why don't you ask for forgiveness and have God fix that? In Psalm 41 and verse 4, I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against Thee. Well, you don't know what I... Heal my soul, for I have sinned against Thee. God uses His word. He heals us from our sin, but He heals using obedience. We saw that in Exodus chapter 15. Do this and this and this. Just obey what I say. No, I got a better way. No, you don't got a better way. It's God's way or no way. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53. God has a purpose in any physical affliction. Isaiah 53 in verse 4. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. God certainly went through some things physically for a purpose, did He not? Look at Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. God has a purpose in physical affliction. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 16. When the even was come, they brought unto Him many that were possessed with devils, and He cast out the spirits with His word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. He fulfilled it. There was a purpose in all of that. Almost done. Psalm 147. The God who heals uses His word. He heals from our sin. He has a purpose in our physical affliction. He heals with obedience. Psalm 147. Psalm 147 in verse 3. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. I'm telling you, there are some ailments that some of you are dealing with tonight that no doctor could ever touch because it's not physical. It's spiritual. The Bible says that God is able to heal the broken in heart. I don't know what you're going through tonight, but can I remind you that God is Jehovah Rapha? And He is able to take that ailment and heal you. Lastly, Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3. Once again, I don't know where everybody is at here tonight. Maybe you're not where you ought to be. Jeremiah 3:22 says, "Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings." So what is backsliding? That's not being where you should be with the Lord. So what's the problem with that? God says you need healing from that. That's not how you ought to be living. So what am I supposed to do? You're supposed to run to God as quickly as possible. It says, return. That means you left. And God says, I'll heal you. Isn't that good to know? Isn't that good to know that maybe you got a friend, a family, a loved one, somebody that's just not right with the Lord right now? You know what they need? Oh, they need a second chance. They need healing in their heart. They need prayer. They need God to get a hold of them. They need to be honest. Last verse tonight, Jeremiah chapter 17. If you're that tonight, why wait? You're miserable away from the Lord. Why wait? Come back. Get right. Jeremiah 17. We looked at verses 9 and 10. Look at verse 14. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For Thou art my praise. God is able to heal you here tonight. He is Jehovah Rapha. Let's all stand. Much like the nation of Israel, sometimes we find ourselves with bitter water. Bitter water in our hearts. You know, there's a group of people that say, hey, if you have enough faith physically, God can... You have physical ailments because you don't have enough faith. That's not what we're talking about here tonight. What we're talking about is internal. And God is able to heal that brokenness inside. Hey, if you're backslidden, not where you ought to be, why don't you come? The Bible says, for Thou art my praise. He takes something that's hurting and turns it into praise. Only God can do things like that. If you're in need of that tonight, why don't you come see the great physician? Heavenly Father, we thank You for tonight. We thank You for who You are. God, I know many a people struggle within their heart. Lord, I pray that You would use this message to comfort and heal. Lord, we need You. We come to You sick. We call upon You, Lord. Heal us. Save us. Save us from our... Heal us from our backsliding. Use this time of invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here tonight? Jehovah Rapha is His name. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Philippians 3:10. And the fellowship of His suffering. Hey, Paul, what's important? That you know Christ. That your root system is in Christ. Look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Just a few verses. familiar verse. Look at this. Verse 27, and answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Hey, what's most important in your life? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. A commitment to God. But secondly, a commitment to others. The danger of selfish Christianity is, I would say, knocking at our doors, but it is sitting in our laps. How does this benefit me? What do I get out of this? Expect to see a return. I'm putting $5 in the offering. That's our approach. What do you got for my kids? Selfish Christianity. Where's your commitment to others? Where's the grace and the love and the forgiveness and the towards others? We need one another. By ourselves, we're shallow. I don't mean to say that demeaningly, but we are. We have shallow roots, but man, when we take our roots and we interlock it with somebody else's, that's called accountability. And I'll help you stand. Colossians chapter 2. Smiles across the room. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7. Colossians 2:7 says, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. With one another, as ye have been taught, rooted and built up in Him. How important our relationship in Christ is. It is our root system. It will be our strength. But the soil in which it grows, rooted and grounded in love. The love of God, understanding that. That is the soil by which our roots grow. So I ask that you this. Commit to making the Lord the top priority in your life. Participate in church. Focus on the fundamentals. I know you hear it often, but prayer and Bible reading. Not yielding to temptation, loving others, and be open and honest to the Holy Spirit as He leads and speaks to you. Because we don't want to just be covering up a problem that's in our life. Because if we're not rooted and grounded when the storms of life come, we will fall down. There's a tendency sometimes when things aren't right in our own life that we just come, we fulfill maybe an obligation of church and quick get out as quick as possible. Not interconnecting with one another. Why? Well, just kind of want to be left alone. You understand the danger of that too. I know it's hard right now, and I know it's our community and society is kind of really pushing that we stay away from one another, but you understand there's a connection between Christians under the unity and the power of the Word of God as we grow and help one another that far exceeds what the world is trying to pull us apart from. This last year has been strenuous on all relationships. But possibly the most detrimental has been a relationship in the Lord. Our roots have been attacked. So, let's get rooted and grounded in Christ. Let's all stand. If you're here this morning and you've never been saved, say, well, you keep saying that. What does that mean? Would you allow someone to show you from the Scriptures what it means to be a Christian, not a member of Walker Bible Baptist Church? Say, do I have to get baptized? You don't have to get baptized. What does it mean to have your sins forgiven? I'll just ask you a question. I asked a guy on the phone this question just Friday, and he hung up on me. You would think if his good credit card percent that he wanted to pass on to me, 0%, was that important, he would have at least answered my question. But I'll ask you really honest, serious. If you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? I know it's a sobering thought, but it is. It is possible. If you were to die today, where would you go? Say, well, I'd like to think I'd go to heaven. You know, I've done a lot of good things. I've tried to help as many people out. Do you understand? Our works cannot earn salvation. It's faith. And if you're not sure or you don't know, would you talk to someone? Would you pull someone aside and say, hey, I need more information on that. Come talk to me. Say, you're scary. And talk to someone that's not scary. I can point you in a lot of different directions. If you're here this morning and you felt the tug at your relationship with the Lord, maybe it's through society, maybe it's through personal decisions, whatever it is, and in your heart you can acknowledge, yes, I need to get deeper rooted and grounded in Christ. In a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. I invite you to come. Talk to the Lord. Again, I'm going to ask you frequently that you be honest. Not for my sake, but for yours. We had a real big mess in our yard for a long period of time because there was something underneath the surface that we didn't see. In your relationship with the Lord, is there something underneath the surface? Oh, you can make the outside look all good. But in your heart. See, if I go forward, people are going to... We got to get past that. We got to worry about what does God know? What does God think? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to open up your word. Lord, I pray that if you spoke to hearts here this morning, God, as the music begins to play, I pray that you would bless this time of invitation now, that we would just be open and honest, us and thee. Lord, help us to get rooted and grounded in you. Help us to interlock with one another, to strengthen the church, be an encouragement to one another. Lord, we need you. I truly believe this. We need you more than ever before. Bless this time of invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning?